So this is Wednesday, January the 3rd, 2018. This is our first FatherHeart.tv webcast of 2018. And it's Mark Jai, John McDonald, and Barry Adams, the three amigos back again. And today we are going to be talking about new mercies for a new year. And so, but before we start, I'll just ask Mark if you would just open in prayer, and then we'll go see where we go.
Well, Father, we thank you once again for your love for us. We thank you for your presence with us. Father, we thank you for this new year. And whilst none of us know what's going to happen this year, we just place our lives, we place this year in your hands, and we just give ourselves back to you, Father. Father, we thank you that your mercies are new every morning, and there's a sense of freshness in our walk and our journey with you. And I just pray, Father, as we unpack that this evening, we really would rediscover just maybe the old truths afresh, the old paths, pathways afresh. Father, just rediscover what we already know, but may it come to us just in a fresh and living way. Mm. And Father, we just pray for John on his travels, that you would go with him, you would go before him, that Father, your presence would really just anoint him and open the hearts of those who are listening, that they would not just hear John's words, but they would hear your heart through John's words. And Father, we just pray you keep him safe on all his travels, keep him in good health. And just pray too for Fiona as she's at home, that you would bless her and that your life and your love would just fill her as well. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Mark, for that. And yeah, it's, you know, John, I mean, I've been to Brazil once, right? So the kind of the Latin America, the passion in which they receive things. And I just believe that, you know, that what you're doing and you're pioneering, you know, in this area of going into Central America and South America, I just believe there's such a harvest there. And so, yeah, we're just cheering you on, brother. And, you know, maybe the three amigos will meet down there one of these days too, right? Yeah. That would be great. So, but anyway, yes, welcome everybody to a new year. And as Mark prayed, new mercies. And so today, you know, just before John goes and goes off on his missionary journeys for the next month or so, we did want to take opportunity for this is the last time the three of us will be together for a while. So we did want to do more of a discussion format. As we were talking and amongst ourselves and just firing emails and texts back and forth, just about this, what we're going to talk about. The thing that I had in my mind is just that, you know, when we talk about a new year, and I don't know how you guys are when it comes to new year, just coming into a new year and ending the previous year, I get really reflective. And I don't know if it's just because of the date, but it is a good opportunity to think about the past, take stock of your life, think about the future and the new, and, you know, kind of like ringing out the old year and ringing in the new one. And so I just thought, you know, when we talk about, you know, like a new year, the people have resolutions and everybody wants to have, you know, their fitness goals, and which I understand those goals are kind of ended by the end of January for most of us. But, you know, we have the best of intentions. But, you know, we were just talking about, you know, just thinking about all these things and new hopes and dreams. And I was just thinking about this idea of the new, right? We're actually, you know, everybody is really wanting the new and pursuing the new. And I think those things are really good. But what it actually reminded me of was Lamentations 3 verses 22 and 23, which is kind of what we want to talk about today and unpack more. And it just says, "It's the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." And I really believe that, you know, I would just love for us to all unpack is what does it mean practically? How How are the Lord's mercies new every morning for each one of us? And how do we kind of remind ourselves of that? Because one of the challenges that I have had personally, and guys, I'm guessing it might be something that you bumped into too, is the idea that the love of God is something that you get. It's a one-off. You tick the box and then you move on. And, you know, I've had people say with, you know, really, you know, good intentions, just saying, you know, I received the Father's love back in 1994 and it was kind of like an event. And then it's onward to new, better and greater things. And I think sometimes this, you know, for me, I know it's maybe a personal struggle, but I sometimes think that the simplicity of the love of the Father, in one way, it's so simple and it's so, but it's all consuming, right? But sometimes in the simplicity, it gets in the way of the depth of it. It just seems like, yeah, I got that. God is my Father. I'm his child. Okay. What else you got? And so I think, you know, when I've heard people have that kind of response that, you know, I just kind of wonder that maybe, you know, there is more that we're not actually unpacking that the Father wants to reveal to us, because I think the depth of his love there's really no end to the extension of that throughout eternity. So I just thought that, you know, in a generation too, in a culture where we're looking for the new worship song, the new sound, the new revelation, the new conference, the new everything else, we can get distracted from those things. I just thought, what would it be if we just talked about these new mercies? Because it's not like it's stale bread that we're presented with. It's like the Father, when he loves us, he is continually loving us. It's not just a one-off event. And just like the manna came and it was every day with the Israelites, I just think that there is a place that maybe we need to even encourage each other and remind each other more and more that there's a place in his love where it's fresh, it's now, it's in the moment. And I've so appreciated James Jordan when he has said when I've been with him, you know, that the Father not only loves you, mm-hmm. he's loving you in this very moment. And I think it's that loving in this very moment that every morning when we wake up, are we aware of his embrace? Are we aware of the new mercies for that day? Or are we so aware of all the other things that we struggle with that it just kind of is pushed to the side and we end up on a pursuit for other things because the love of God is really, it's kind of passe. It's like we've done that. So anyway. Guys, I don't know, just feel free to, that's just kind of my intro and my thoughts on what to talk about. But
just when you were describing that at the beginning, Barry, I just thought, it sounds like a promiscuous lifestyle. You know, like, yeah, I've done that, I've been there. No, but it does. You know, and I'm looking for something bigger, I'm looking for something better, I'm looking for something more, I'm looking for a deeper experience, a wilder experience. And I think that's the problem. That we've created this climate, this in Christianity, where what you have isn't good enough. You need to have, there's always something better and bigger that you can't have or you haven't got that someone else has, and you need to strive after it. But, you know, we're talking about a relationship here. Is that how we treat our relationships? You know, is that what we do with our wives or boyfriends or girlfriends or our mothers or fathers or siblings? Yeah. Well, I knew that brother 10 years ago, but I'm looking for someone better and someone more, you know, and, you know, it's putting it into context. We're talking about relationship, not an experience, not an event, but an ongoing relationship. And I think a lot of what you were describing misses that aspect of it out. It misses out the relational aspect and just, it does, it just marks out as a series of events in our lives that are supposed to represent our spiritual journey.
I think that's absolutely right, John. It is a relationship. And, you know, how do we treat all our other relationships? You know, in some senses, we don't actually think about them because they just happen organically, you know. I don't wake up in the morning thinking, oh, I must be nice to Fiona, or I must relate to Fiona today, or, you know, or I must relate to the people in my office. You know, it happens automatically. It happens organically because it's a relationship. And I was just thinking about this whole topic, just as I was driving home, from work today. And, you know, such is my life. I was doing a tax return this morning and for one of my clients. And I don't even know that I would go so far as to say I was praying about it, but I was just doing this tax return. And in English, we have this word musing, which is, it's a bit, I mean, John will understand it, but it's like pondering. And to me, it's like halfway between thinking about something and praying about something. I don't know if you guys understand what I'm talking about, but, you know, I wasn't thinking about something, about this tax return. I wasn't particularly praying about it, but I was just sort of musing on it. And I don't even know if I said, Father, is there anything else I need to be aware of? But instantly, I just knew there was a question I needed to ask my client about this return. And, you know, I know where that came from. I know that was just the Holy Spirit just prompting me and saying, you know, and as I say, I don't even think I was praying about it or thinking about it specifically. It was just that conversation with Father in the back of my mind. And I kind of, for me, that's how a lot of it happens. It's like, you know, if you have a relationship with someone, you have a conversation with them. And for me, that's, you know, I'm not one of these people that has to have a 15-minute quiet time at the beginning of the day where I talk to God and I get it out of the way and then I get on with the rest of the day. I've never been able to do that. For me, it's a much more sort of, you know, I walk with him, I talk with him a long, life's narrow way, you know, as the old song says. And I just find that I talk to him as the day goes along. Mm-hmm. And that is about things like tax returns. That is about things like, you know, what do I need to say to my staff? You know, and so on. And to me, I suppose that's just become a natural way of life. Almost, I don't even think of it as being, you know, and we've talked about this before, but I really don't think about it as being spiritual. You know, I don't flip out of one mode into another mode, and that's my spiritual mode. It's because we don't have that, you know, it's just a relationship that happens organically through the day. And, you know, I think the way we lose the freshness is when we put God in a box, or when we put our relationship with God in a box, or when we try to compartmentalize, you know, our life in that way, we lose something of that freshness. Mm. But, you know, when we see it as a relationship, you know, it's like, hey, it's just natural.
Mm. Yeah. And I'm one of the things that I know for me, and again, it's kind of reminded by what James said, that the Father not only loves us, he is loving us in this very moment. It's actually, staying in the moment is one of the things that, you know, the name of Yahweh, when he said to Moses, I am that I am, right? He is in this moment. You know, Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, but he's in the very present with us. And I think that one of the, in a sense, the strategies of the enemy, at least for my life, because I'm this, when I, you know, I've done this strength finders testing. I don't know if you've done that in the UK or not, but it where you can test and have these personality distinctives. And one of them that I have is one that's called a futurist. And it's supposed to be a positive strength, but it's, you don't find peace in the present unless you know what your future holds. And so I often think that for me is when I start to kind of drift away from the present and I start getting too far ahead of myself in the future, you know, I mean the days and the weeks and the months and the years. I find that that's when, you know, that the unknown and the uncertainty of those things that I can't control, that's where I start to, I can get maybe fearful, right? And we know there's no fear in love. And oftentimes when I've talked to Papa about if things way down the road or whatever, he always seems to ground me by asking me, how are you today, Barry? You get everything you need today?
Yeah.
And so, and that's just one little practical way that for me, I find that I return to that place of right in this moment, you know. And, you know, I think that, you know, one of the things that with, especially with a charismatic Pentecostal kind of influence that many of us have, when we talk about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we associate often that outpouring of the Spirit of God as actually an outpouring of power or giftedness to accomplish a task. But in Romans 5:5, when we understand or, you know, be reminded that, you know, Paul said that God has poured his love into the heart, our hearts by the Holy Spirit in which he's given us. And in Ephesians 5:18, it says, do not be drunk with wine in excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, which is a continual filling. So it's kind of like being reminded that it's not a tool or a thing. It's a person. He's a person. It's God himself, his own nature. He is pouring out continually through his whole own spirit. And it's meant to be a moment by moment encounter.
Do you think that as with other relationships then, that the problem could be that we take him for, and his presence for granted? Because the fact is, he will love us even if we ignore him. You know, he will be kind to us even if we ignore him. He will be good to us even if we ignore him. And so is there a sense where we take him, his goodness, his love, his kindness, his presence, do we just take it for granted? And you know what happens in other relationships when you take people for granted? You know, they become sick of it. That's what causes divorces and all kinds of falling outs. And it's why people leave jobs, because they take for granted, or they feel taken for granted by employers or colleagues. And I wonder, is there something in our nature or in our Christian system that enables that taking for granted? I'm asking the question. I'm not certain how much of that is fact and how much is just, you know.
Yeah. I think we miss the obvious as well sometimes. You know, it's like you walk into a room and don't notice the other person is there. And you just go into the room and you just sit down and carry on with what you're doing, but you see, but you don't notice the other person. And I think we can do that with the Father. Yeah. Like you're saying, John. I was just looking today at 1 John chapter 2, where, you know, John writes, he said, you know, he says that, and by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but doesn't keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And, you know, I think sometimes we can read that and it feels like it almost feels like it's another law, doesn't it? It's like you've got to keep his commandments. And we kind of feel like love has set us free from all of that. And it's kind of like we can feel almost like something else is being put upon us. But I love how the Passion Translation puts this. It says, you know, we can... He concludes in verse 6 by saying, we can be sure that we've come to live in intimacy with God, not by saying, I am intimate with God, but by walking in the footsteps of Jesus. And to me, that really just, I suppose that really just caught hold of what it really means to keep his commandments. You know, it's not I keep his commandments. It's not like saying I am in intimacy with him, but it's actually just walking in his footsteps, walking in Jesus' footsteps. Yeah. And I was, you know, little kids with their dad, you know, they love to walk in their dad's footsteps, don't they? Or their mum's footsteps. They like to sort of follow along. And you almost try to see them sometimes trying to take the same size steps as their parents. And I remember when I was, we were on the beach once years and years ago when our kids were little, and the sand was slightly wet. And I was walking along and I was making footprints. And I looked behind and one of my girls was trying to put her feet, you know, in my footsteps. And of course it was big steps for her, you know, she was almost like jumping. And I thought, yeah, that's what it is. That's just the childlike simplicity of walking in a father's footsteps. Mm-hmm. It's just like, hey, I haven't got a care in the world, but that's where my father's going. And he might take big steps, but I'm going to try and keep up with him, you know. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that was I was just reminded of that picture. And I thought, oh, that's great. You know, that's what John is saying here in 1 John chapter 2, that, you know, when we keeping his commandments is not a law, but it's just following the way of Jesus and just living like Jesus did. And Jesus had a fresh relationship. Jesus lived in that intimacy with his Father every day.
Mm. Mm. That's good. That's a good picture, actually. Yeah. It's kind of like a modern update of Ezekiel, isn't it? When he says, you know, I'll put my spirit in you and cause you to keep my, to walk in my ways. Yeah. It's like, and I love that, not the keeping commands, but I cause you to walk in my ways. And it's like that same picture of the footprints.
It's very different, isn't it? Walking in his ways and keeping his commandments is very, very different, I think.
But it's the spirit in you, that, and again, the same spirit that's pouring the love of God into our hearts. Mm. And so really, I guess we're talking about the outworking of love, aren't we?
Yeah.
When it comes to that, about a love relationship, back to the relationship thing, that it comes out of a love relationship rather than obedience to a master.
Yeah.
I was reading some notes I had of Trevor from a while ago, and he was talking about Abba and Daddy. And he said, you know, Daddy is this, it seems this fluffy, soft thing. And there are times that needs to be expressed because people haven't had that kind of relationship with a father. But you're saying, you know, Abba carries that, but it carries more. It also carries a sense of authority, of stature, that commands respect, that brings us into this walk of obedience. Not because it's obeying a master, but because of the respect and the awe that this person's being and nature and stature commands, and you just think, wow. And again, it's, you know, it's back to like, I want to walk in his footsteps.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love the way you made that distinction about, you know, Daddy, yes, it needs to be expressed, but Abba carries something of greater weight while still carrying that gentleness and kindness and goodness and affection. I like the way he described it. It was very good.
Yeah, that reminds me of A.W. Tozer when he talked about Queen Elizabeth when she was just a toddler, and she would be under her, I don't know if it was her father, maybe it was her father's, I think it was her grandfather at the time, I think. But the desk in the royal, you know, wherever he sat, and everybody was, in a sense, not terrified of the king, but, you know, really revered the king. And so, but little Elizabeth was just kind of crawling around, you know, around his feet, right? Under his desk. Nobody saw her. And to everybody else, I mean, he was the king and he did carry this authority, but yet, you know, A.W. Tozer wrote that little Elizabeth had, him wrapped around her finger, right? Because he was this powerful king, but yet he had this really soft spot for his granddaughter. And I really believe, again, it just comes back to this idea of how do we see God, right? How do we, and again, oftentimes if we think that it's all about power, it's all about giftedness, it's all about influence, we can almost see him like, do you guys have the term ATM machine, you know, for where you take out cash? Where it ceases to be about relationship, right? It's more about getting something from him, you know, and again, you know, where we say we seek his hand rather than his face.
Well, I guess because an ATM just performs a function. It doesn't do anything else.
Yes. Yeah. And so often, I think, you know, oftentimes when we focus on, you know, in a sense, what we can get, it's really to fill a hole in us, an emptiness that we're still trying to find our identity apart from relationship, right? Where Jesus continually just associated his own life with his Father, right? I and the Father are one. I'm, you know, I only do what I see my Father doing. It was like, it was always about him and his dad. It wasn't about the manifestation of power. It wasn't about trying to affirm some emptiness in his own life. It was all about intimacy and just enjoying that relationship. And Maria wrote in the comments, you know, abide in me and in my love, you know, and, you know, I think of 1 John 4:16, where John writes, whoever lives in love lives in God and God lives in him. And there's this beautiful place, I think, that every day those new mercies that are being released, whether we know about it or not, whether we're aware of it or not, it's just like there's this, I believe there's this wonder and in this awe that I know for me, my prayer is that I would become more and more aware of the abiding presence of love in my life every day, because wherever love is, fear cannot be, right? So if I'm anxious, if I'm fearful, if I'm worried, it's actually somehow it's an illusion in the sense that we can separate ourselves from love, because nothing in all creation can separate us. So we're living in this false illusion that, you know, somehow I'm separate. And it's just like to be able to come to our senses, you know, and return as quickly as possible, right? You know, like in the sense metaphorically running into our dad's lap and climbing on his shoulders again and say, ah, this is the place, this is the vantage point that I want to live my life in. Yeah.
When you were introducing it, Barry, you said about it's like the manna that was fresh every day. And of course it is. But the thing about the manna was they had to go out and gather it. It was given to them. It was given to them freely. It was there every day. But if they sat inside their tents, they would have missed out. They would have missed out on the blessing of the manna. And there's one particular word which is a pet hate of mine, which is, you know, we've got to be intentional about something. You know, I really don't like that expression, but I can't think of another word. We are given new manna every day. It's fresh manna every day. But yeah, just like the people of Israel, they had to get out of their tents and go and gather it in. Yeah. And I believe, you know, there's like that gathering that we have to do. It's a bit like John was saying, we can take it for granted. You know, we can sit in our tent, we can sit in the doorway of our tent, and we can look outside and we can say, oh, look at all that lovely manna. You know, hasn't God been good? You know, it's different manna than yesterday, you know, and we can sit in our tent doorway and take it for granted, but it's actually not going to do us any good. You know, the people of Israel had to go and gather the manna in. And, you know, I feel like it's like, yeah, God is blessing us every day. God is pouring his love into our hearts. But it's easy, as John said, to take that for granted and almost become so familiar with it that we don't allow it to touch our hearts. It's like, God's loving me anyway. And we kind of brush it off rather than receiving it. And, you know, I one of the things, you know, and I'll do this in schools, I'll do this in conferences, is constantly encourage people to just say, Father, will you fill me with more of your love now? And just to put themselves in that posture of receiving and say, yeah, Father, I know you're loving me, but Father, I want more of it now. And, you know, Jesus said, seek and you will find, ask and the door will be opened to you, knock and the door will be opened, you know, and, you know, his love is never hidden from us. His love is never sort of held from us. But I think there's something, there's maybe it's a responsibility in us just to say, Father, I can see your blessings, but I want to receive them. You know, I do like chocolate. And Christmas, of course, is a great time for getting a lot of chocolate. And at the moment, the cupboard is full of chocolate. And I am very good at leaving chocolate in the cupboard for quite a long time. But the moment I open it, John, the moment I start it, it goes. You know, same at Easter, you know, I get all the Easter eggs. I can leave an Easter egg in the cupboard for a week or 2 weeks, but the moment I open an Easter egg, it's gone, you know? And I feel it's like that with, you know, the Father's love. We can leave it in the cupboard and say, look what God's got done. Look what he's given to me. But actually we have to take it and receive the gift. You know, a gift is not a gift until you've received it. And he wants us to receive the gift of his love that he is constantly pouring into our hearts.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like, you know, when the psalmist said, taste and see that the Lord is good, right? There is a tasting, which implies more of an interaction and experiential. You have to experience the taste of his goodness, right? You can look from afar. And, you know, I kind of wonder sometimes with faith, you know, Hebrews 11:6 is without faith, it is impossible to please God, right? And again, we can see that and beat each other over the head with that scripture. Because he that comes to God must believe that he exists and he's the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. But you know, I really feel that faith isn't this really super mystical, kind of intangible thing. We make faith steps every day, right? I wouldn't be sitting on the chair I'm sitting in if I didn't believe that it would hold me. I mean, so what do? You just, the confidence that the chair can hold you causes you to actually enjoy the benefits of sitting in the chair. If you never believed it was true, you, even though the chair can hold you, you wouldn't do it. And it's almost, to me, it's almost as simple as that. The Father loves us. He's loving us. He wants us to enjoy his love. And all we have to do is just take it, just to enjoy it and to believe that that's the truth, right? But so many times our perception of him as a father and just the, you know, the religious baggage that we've carried from our, you know, previous experiences and church life or whatever, where we just don't see him that way, that we can't believe, like it's almost too good to be true. So we try to, you know, relate to him in a way that we think he wants us to relate to him, rather than coming to him as a little boy, a little girl, and just running on his lap. And Papa, you know, 24 hours a day, the Bible says that we can enter his throne room with boldness, right? And I just wonder if it is a bit of a perception issue as well, right? So we perceive that he's distant, or he's maybe, I didn't have my devotions this morning, so maybe he's not really that happy with me. And so kind of a shame, I add a couple of fig leaves and keep my distance, right? But he said, oh, come on. Day or night, enjoy. You can have as much as you want, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I guess just thinking about some of what we're talking about, I guess that's maybe how the whole quiet time thing started. You know, I think about how things start today, and I think perhaps it was just one guy talking about how he motivated himself to connect with the Lord, and then suddenly it became this huge thing that it was just a mechanic, which actually quite often doesn't involve relationship. But I wonder if that was it, you know, just guys sitting talking like this and saying, well, this is what I do. But it doesn't, there is no one size fits all. We can't even, you know, we can sit here and say this is what we do, but it's not necessarily what would work for everyone listening. Because we each have a unique relationship with them. And all can say, I think you did very well, Mark, actually, not using the I word. You managed to get through that without using the I word. But I think we need to be purposeful. And did you see what I did there? But I think there is something, you know, because yes, my relationship with my wife happens, but there are times when I recognize that I'm not really communicating with my wife. I'm sharing the space with her. And so I need to be purposeful and saying, you know, sweetheart, I've been thinking this is this is what's been going on with me. This is what's been going on in my head. And I guess it's the same with Father. It's just saying, although he already knows, but I think there's something in the sharing with him that develops the intimacy, develops the relationship, and just saying, this is what's going on in my head, Father. This is the fear that's in my heart. This is the worry that, this is the joy that's, this is the things that I'm loving right now. Mm-hmm. And I think there's just something in that, because I think that's when he comes back and says, well, let me tell you what's been going through my head, or what's been in my heart, or what's my joy right now. And, you know, and that, I guess that's how it works really, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, because we're always looking for the supernatural thing of like a word of knowledge, a word of power, and sometimes he just wants you to know what he's thinking.
Yeah.
And sometimes all he wants to know is what you're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow we've made the relationship with God a place where you can't share the mundane. You know, like you were saying, Mark, you're thinking about, okay, this tax return, and you knew the Holy Spirit was saying, well, you need to ask this. And that's the mundane things of life.
Yeah.
You know, how many times a day are you doing tax returns at different periods of the year? You know, and so for you, that's a very mundane thing.
Yeah.
But yet the Holy Spirit steps in and says, I want to talk to you about this, Mark. And
yeah.
He's interested in the mundane things, not the not just the spectacular or yeah. the mystical, but the mundane. The intricacies of our lives and our thoughts and feelings and desires and hopes and disappointments and all of those things.
Yeah.
And he wants us to share them with him.
Yeah.
You know? And that just blows my mind. That the God of the universe wants to know how my day went. You know, it's like, really?
Yes. I think it's this, you know, when we talk about our relationship with Father, it's, to me, it's a relationship with the Trinity.
Mm.
I was just thinking of John 17:26. Where Jesus says, I have made known to them your name. So that's like a single action. You know, I have made it known. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He says, I've made it known and I will continue to make it known. Mm. And it's like, that's the sort of the living reality of it. It's not a single one-off event. You know, we have our big brother, Jesus, who will continually reveal a Father to us.
Hmm.
And in Jude, in Jude 20, it says, but you, my delightfully loved friends, constantly and progressively build yourselves up on the foundation of your holy faith by praying every moment in the Spirit. And it's like, you know, we've got the whole Trinity working, cheering us on. you know, Jesus is constantly revealing the Father. The Holy Spirit is inside of us. You know, Jesus said in John 14, you know, I'm going back to my Father, but I'll send another comforter who will be with you forever. And he will remind you of these things. And it's like, you know, they're all cheering us on. And sometimes I will just say, you know, Jesus, reveal your Father to me. Jesus, show me the Father. Or Holy Spirit, show me the Father. Because, you know, it's like, this is just, you know, this is just like, I'm just thinking of Trevor's very simple picture of the three chairs, you know, the Trinity in this relationship together, facing one another, relating to one another, with us in the middle. And we're invited in to enjoy and be part of this same relationship that they enjoy. And you know, I don't know, again, it works differently for each one of us, but you know, I will very often say, oh, Jesus, show me the Father. Mm. Jesus, what's the Father doing at the moment? You know, sometimes I'll say, Father, what are you doing at the moment? Or Father, what do you think of me? You know, or Holy Spirit, just reveal something. And yeah, one of the things people say about Father Heart Ministries is all we talk about is the Father. Well, you know, I just don't think they're listening. Because more and more we're talking about the Trinity and the Trinity drawing us to the Father and the Trinity drawing us to the Holy Spirit and the Trinity drawing us to Jesus, because we're part, we are in Christ, you know. So it works differently for each one of us, but I kind of feel we can, you know, they're there for us. They're as much in the equation.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I wonder if it's even more of just about us being aware.
Yeah.
Just and I think, you know, when Paul prayed in Ephesians 1 and when he said in verse 17, he said, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. And I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people." And so I it's just like, to me, if we would have eyes to see, if we were seeing with the eyes of our heart, even each one of us, wherever we are, the scripture says that the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, right? And if we would see into the spiritual realm in a greater measure, even when we're doing tax returns, right? The angelic presence of God himself, the Trinity, lives within us. It's just like it's so mind-boggling that the truth that is more real than our earthly reality is that the presence of Almighty God, he has chosen each one of us to be his temple. And yet here we are in our own worlds and we get lost and focused and are thinking about the future or the task at hand. And we forget, we lose that sense of awareness of his abiding presence all the time. And, you know, I even think, you know, Paul, when he said in Acts chapter 17 on Mars Hill, he said, you know, in him we live and move and have our being, for we are all his offspring. You know, this idea that every breath we take, you know, when Adam, when he was man, when God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, it was the ruach of God. It was actually his very breath that caused man to become a living soul, right? And I've said this before. Google says we each and every one of us breathes 20,000 times every day. And so oftentimes, you know what I do with this stuff? I pray that we would be so aware of the Father's abiding presence that every time we take a breath, like, you don't think about breathing, right? Okay, 993rd breath. You know, and then that kind of crazy thing, you just breathe, right? And I just wonder if there's more of that awakening that I know that I want that. I was asking the Father today, because I honestly say that this isn't my reality every morning, but I thought, what if the first thought when I actually came to consciousness in the morning was this: Father, you're kissing me right now with the start of a new day. Thank you. How would that change my perspective on that day?
I heard someone talking about meditation, and they were saying the way they get themselves into that place is they speak the name of God with their breath, but they started off with Jehovah, you know, so Jehovah, but they started doing it with Abba. Abba. And I thought that was interesting. That was what they did when they were kind of stilling their hearts and focusing on him.
Yeah.
Well, I remember about the Trinity, I remember a friend describing the Trinity in a very, very simple way, and I just so loved it. It was the right arm of God is Jesus, and the left arm of God is the Holy Spirit. And both arms of God are drawing humanity into the Father's bosom.
Yeah. Amen. That's good.
Like, for us to be able to see that's our experiential reality that we can live in, that is more real than all of the things that can try to come against us, because nothing in all creation can separate us from his love. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, eh? Good stuff. So we should maybe pray. I'm up for praying. Anybody?
Cool.
For just praying. For me, it just, you know, my desire for me is that my eyes, the heart, would be open more. So, yeah. Well, let me get the music on. Are you getting it on there, Mark? Yeah, so, Father, we thank you that you love us with a love that predates creation. You've always loved us. You will always love us. And you're loving us in this very moment, right now. Whether it's live on the webcast or recorded afterwards, Father, in this very moment, your love is being poured into our hearts by your Spirit. And so, Father, we ask that you would open up the eyes of our heart, that the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, your Holy Spirit, would awaken in us the awareness of your abiding presence. That the truth is that nothing in all creation could ever separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Death can't, life can't, angels can't, demons can't, the future can't, the present can't, nothing can separate us from your love, even in this very moment. So, Father, we ask that you would awaken a deeper awareness of your nearness, of your interest in our life, in all the mundane things of life, that we would so be aware that you are an ever-present help in our time of trouble, that you are close to the brokenhearted, and you will save those who are crushed in spirit. And that with every breath we take, Father. Yeah, Father, we're breathing you in, your life, your love, your nearness. Thank you, Father.
Yeah, Father, thank you. Father, my prayer for myself and for my brothers and sisters is that you would enable us to be constantly aware of your love. Constantly aware that Jesus, our brother, and Holy Spirit, our tutor and friend, are both drawing us to your bosom. Father, that we would live with a constant awareness that it's not about power and miracles, but it's about intimacy. And that you would teach us how to do that. How to be intimate with the God who made the universe and who breathed his breath into each one of us. Father, I pray that would be enough for us. It would be enough. Yeah, you might give us more, but Father, that we would learn contentment and intimacy. Father, you have waited so long for all of us to come to that place. Your patience, your steadfastness. Thank you that you've never once thought it's not worth it, or why do I bother, but your very heart is just to draw us deep into that place where we can see the secrets of your heart and be unafraid of bearing our own. So Father, give us the constant awareness that place is there for us, and teach us how to come to it. Jesus, Show us how to come to the Father the way you came to the Father. In our hearts, in our living, in our thinking, in our speaking. Jesus, show us what that looks like for each one of us to walk in as little children, putting our feet in our Father's footsteps or our big brother's footsteps. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, thank you, Father. Father, thank you that you're loving us right now. Father, thank you that your mercies are new every morning. And Father, we want to receive the gift of you loving us. Father, thank you. Father, I just ask that you would continually remind us that this is a relationship. This isn't a formula. This isn't a product. This isn't a topic. This is a relationship, and you'd take us deeper and deeper into that relationship. Amen. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Yes, Father.
Amen. Amen and amen. Wow.